Well, that was close, wasn't it? That was very close. Glad it didn't hit us. Glad it wasn't my community. Glad it wasn't Palm Harbor. I am very glad that we are safe. But that is a hard attitude to have. What should our attitude be? What should our attitude be as followers of Jesus Christ, as people have decided to follow Jesus and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is in our hearts? What should be our attitude? My name's Keith Harcum. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we're in our fourth week in our series, and it fits perfectly for what we experienced this week as we go through the book of Philippians, as we talk about what is rubbish, what is trash, and what is garbage that we don't need in our life, and how do we use Philippians and what Paul wrote to Philippi for our own lives. Particularly this week, we focus on our attitude. We can even say, what is our attitude to people? What is our attitude to prayer? And what is our attitude to circumstances? But specifically this week, we are focusing on our attitude. Our attitudes are shaped by the way we came into this world, through our parents, through the necessary vessels that we were brought into this life through. Through our parents, we develop our attitude. And then later in life, we choose some of the people that we follow in order for our attitudes to be shaped. We choose people to be around that shape and mold us and give us either good attitudes or attitudes that are rubbish. Some people that you are with have attitudes that are garbage, that have attitudes that are trash, that you could say your attitude is rubbish. I was speaking to a member of our congregation, and he was talking about his attitude earlier in life. And he was doing well in life. He lived up north in New Jersey, and he said that everything was going, was doing really well. Career was going well. He was going up and to the right. That's what we want, right? He said everything was going well. He was really successful. He was working with Fortune 500 companies, but just working all the hours that God sent. And this was having an effect on his mental health, on his emotional health, and indeed his relational health with his own wife. And one day he said to his wife, I need to change my attitude. I need to have a better attitude. I need an attitude adjustment. And he said, the only way I can have an attitude adjustment is to have a latitude adjustment. And he moved from all the way up north in New Jersey somewhere down to Florida, sunny Florida. And that latitude adjustment changed his attitude. Some of you this week, as we've already mentioned, some of you have had your television sets on from 24/7, watching that little red thing go around all the time, watching the latitude and longitude chain changes of Hurricane Ian. And it was coming straight for us. And this thing, this hurricane that we've just been singing about, this hurricane was indeed in his latitude changing my attitude. What was your attitude like as you watched the hurricane come straight for us? As it passed over Cuba. By the way, our sister church in Cuba, Pastor Amado, Pastor Kathy reached out to him, and he is fine, thankfully. We're really happy with that. Yeah, you can do that. And as it came out of Cuba and kept spinning and went over the warm Gulf waters and started speeding up to 155 miles an hour, what was your attitude like? Ah! I was the most prepared I'd ever been. I had borrowed a generator. I got water. I got a hurricane preparedness kit. I had everything ready. I had the whole thing planned out. My attitude changed with the latitude of that hurricane. The Apostle Paul's attitude changed completely, and he had lots of latitude adjustments around the Mediterranean. In fact, his latitude right now had him in Rome, which is where we are as we go through the book of Philippians. He's in Rome, he's on house arrest, and he is chained to a guard. And his attitude to the kind of attitude we should have, and Philippians should have, is really interesting. And we finally moved on to chapter 2. So chapter 2, verses 1 through 18, that's where we are. You've got a Bible in front of you, the front row does, because the front row is really good. Yeah, if you've got a Bible with you, get it out. If not, you've got a phone, flick it open to Philippians 2, 1 through 18, and we're going to show it on the screen too. Don't forget, Paul's in jail. He's locked up to a Roman guard, to a Roman special forces guard. He says, he asks, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Is there any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. So he starts with these rhetorical questions. And there are three key things that every person, whether they're a follower of Jesus or not, every person needs these three things to feel included in life, to feel loved. Here they are: encouragement, comfort, and fellowship. And Paul answers these questions immediately by saying, is this the kind of thing that's in your heart? Is this the kind of thing that is dwelling within you and you care about mostly? He says, if this is your hearts are tender and compassionate, then this is good. In fact, the word there for hearts, sometimes we translate that as soul. But actually, the Greek word here that Paul is using, literally, there's no other explanation for it, just literally means intestines. Intestines are at the seat of your stomach. Are your intestines thinking about people being encouraged, thinking about comfort, thinking about people who are having fellowship together? Is this the kind of thing that turns your stomach? I was speaking to someone this week about the hurricane when we were cleaning up on Friday, and she said, oh, when I think of the people in South Florida, my stomach just turns. You have that? Your stomach turns? He says, if you've got these things, then make my joy complete, or make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. And then he says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Trying to impress other people is really exhausting, isn't it? Don't impress other people. But don't look out for your own interests. Look out for other people's interests as well. In fact, when we are interested in other people's interests, our lives actually become more interesting. When we're interested in the interests of people we've never met before, our lives become more interesting because we've got other interesting things to share with people. He says, look out for that. Your life's going to get better. Your life's going to get better if you're interested in other people. Take on the interests of other people. And Paul's whole, these 18 verses are based on this one in chapter 5, verse 5. And we're going to say this together. We're going to put verse 5 up here. And we're going to say this all together. What our attitudes should be. be like. Let's say it together. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Okay, Paul, what attitude did Jesus have? And the next part has been called the Christ hymn. Scholars and those who study this have said that they might have said this in Philippi to one another, like a hymn they sang together. He says, though Jesus, he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. And he took on the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So, though Jesus Christ was God, he came in human form, born to a teenage girl, lived 33 years in and amongst on the earth, 3 years of ministry, then died on a criminal's cross, a cross, a death machine reserved for those who were the worst criminals. He came and died and appeared to us and humbled himself, made himself a slave, so that we might see, so that we might understand who God is. He humbled himself. The Greeks often looked at the word humility as civility, like lower. You should never do that. You should try and get up the ladder. You should try and make things go up and to the right. Paul says, Christ came and served the people all the way to death on the cross. And what kind of attitude, what happens when you have that kind of attitude when you're like Jesus? What happens? Verse 9 says, therefore, because of that attitude, because of that way to communicate the gospel, because of that, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because of his attitude, his name, you say this name all around the world, it's World Communion Sunday. You say this name in all sorts of different languages, and we're going to do that today, but when we say this name, everybody knows that it's the name above all names. And we sing about it, we celebrate it, we perpetuate it, and we preach about it, we proclaim Jesus is Lord. And this name is lifted up because of Christ's attitude. Because of Christ's attitude to when he was on earth as a person. And here's the reason. Here's the reason it happened like that. And here's the thing that should be in our guts, should be in our intestines, make our stomach turn. That we want everyone to kneel and know the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and below the earth. Everything in all creation, everything that we that makes us tick, that we want that to be redeemed. We want other people around us to be encouraged. We want other people to be comforted. We want them to know the fellowship that you have, amen? That's why you're here. That you're not here because it's fun. You're not here because like next week we'll get together and pack a few boxes and that's kind of fun. No, we're here because we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And that fellowship that we get from that, the encouragement and the comfort, no matter where you're from or what you do, what kind of background you have, we want other people to have that. Amen? That's the gut. That's our gut. That's where we are. That every tongue would declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. That every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One of my favorite old Charles Wesley songs. That oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praise. That's what we want. That's at the very seat of what we do. That's why we gather. That's why we sing. That's why we preach. That's why we come together and encourage one another. I want you to come together a little closer next week. Come from the back of the sanctuary and come up and sit up here. Some of you are getting that. You'll get it later. But we want people to get together to experience the same thing that you all do, that every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. And then he goes back to talking to the Philippians. He says, dear friends, verse 12, dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He says in another English translation, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means when we're working out our salvation, we're working out how much God has done for us. We're reading in the scriptures what Jesus did for us, how God is working in our life. We're working out who we are, working out that relates to our family. We're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And that word fear, there is not, I fear a hurricane coming to my front door. That word there, phobos, means deep reverence, deep respect for my salvation. Deep reverence, deep respect for the one who came in human form. I angle my life. I have an attitude that I have a fear of God. And the next word, trembling, is tromos. Tromos is a tremble, not like I'm trembling in my boots because the flood is going to come up my door. I'm trembling because we have a sincere loyalty to God. We have a sincere loyalty to our Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to live in fear of God. We want to live trembling. And we also want a desire to please God. What pleases God? It pleases God that we want others to know this encouragement. It pleases God that we want others to know this same comfort. It pleases God that we want others to know the same fellowship that we have. And it's ironic, actually, when you're not pleasing men, you're not pleasing men. But when you're pleasing God, you're actually pleasing people. Because you want them to have those three basic things. You want them to have encouragement. You want them to have comfort. You want them to know this same fellowship that you have. And this pleases God. Last few verses. Do everything. Verse 14. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean and innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright stars in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice. And I will share your joy. You should rejoice, and I will share your joy. We think when he says don't do anything with complaining, you might think that you were complaining this week and now you're not complaining anymore. But actually, Paul's referencing the fact that Israel is known as a complaining generation. When they got through the Red Sea and they got into the Promised Land, they continue to complain for the next 40 years. They continue to moan about what God had provided them. Paul is saying to a generation, his own generation, you don't have to be like that anymore. You don't have to be this complaining generation. I want you to know some new freedom. I want you to know that there's no longer a need to complain. And he goes on to say, I want you to shine like stars. Shine brightly, burn brightly in this crooked and evil generation. So here's the few things I want you to do. Here's the things I want you to do. We've got some work to do. And I'm going to give you some things to do. for our friends in South Florida and those in Florida. But before we do that, I want to give you the reasons why we do this. I want to give you an attitude to have. Here's the first one. Here's how I want you to live. I want you to live in fear. Yeah, live in fear. Not fear of what's coming around the corner. Not fear of that boss that you don't like. Not fear of that family member you don't like. Live in fear of God. Live in fear and phobos. Live in phobos of a deep reverence for God. And the next one, live trembling. Not trembling in your boots, that what's going to come next, not what's going on, but live wondering about how you can please, wondering how you can please God, which is the next one, desire to please God. How do you do that? Wanting people to have the same comfort, the same encouragement, and the same fellowship that you would have. And then finally, if you've got these things, if you're desiring these things, if you want to see this in other people, if you have this thing in your gut and you don't have a rubbish attitude, shine brightly. Shine brightly so that it's the way your life is living is it's attractive. And here's some practical steps to shine brightly after this week. I know you all know what happened this week with Ian. And I know that you want people to have comfort and encouragement and fellowship. Amen? I know that. Yeah, you would agree with that. Yeah. And so the experts have told us that the best things to do in these circumstances at the beginning definitely is the way to show some comfort and encouragement is the first of all is to give. And I've got a slide for you to show you how you can do that. We can give you, want to take a picture of this little skew here. Give to UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief. All the experts say it's no good running down there with your truck kind of thing right now. Give to organizations who are on the ground and ready to go. That's the first thing we're going to do. We do that today. You can do it online. You can click give and go to UMCOR Hurricane Relief. The next thing we can do is send. So give, send. We can send supplies down to the Fort Myers area and our friends in the Southwest. Cleaning kits, those kind of things, water, practical things. In fact, our friend Jason Knott is at Dunedin, First Dunedin. He has family in Englewood, which was hit by the storm, and they're going down there this afternoon. You can go to Dunedin, First Dunedin, and give water and supplies today. We'll do some other efforts to help people over this next week as we send supplies down there. But I was just speaking to somebody after the service, and they said, send shoes. She helped clean up her mother-in-law's apartment. Send shoes. So we'll give, we'll send, and then the last thing we will do is we'll go. Yeah, we're going to go down there. It's not going to go away anytime soon. It's not just this week. It's going to take a long time to rebuild Fort Myers and the surrounding areas, Cape Coral, Englewood, and all those kind of things. So we'll go down, we'll provide support, and we'll help and fix, and all those things are going to come down the track in the future. But the reason we do this is because we have an attitude. You don't have an attitude that's rubbish. You don't have an attitude that's like, oh, I'm done. Didn't happen to me. No, your attitude is that you want people to have the same encouragement. You want people to have the same comfort. You want people to have the same fellowship as you do. And when your attitude is not rubbish, when your attitude is that of Christ Jesus, we can share the love of Christ with everybody in the world. Amen. In fact, today we are celebrating World Communion Sunday. That's when everybody, not just in Florida or in the United States, not just in Europe or Asia or in other communities around the world, everybody across the world is having communion and are united by the same thing, the same action that we do. Of course, it's really important today as we share with our brothers and sisters in Florida. But the action and the attitude of communion says that we are communing together. There is no other table that is as level as the communion table, where everybody can partake in the bread and the juice that Jesus shared with us. And on that night, the night before he was betrayed, the night before he went to the cross, he sat with his disciples, he sat with his friends, men and women gathered around a low table in a secret room that Jesus had set up. And he, after dinner was over, after the supper was over, after he had their attention, he said to them, this is my body. Passed around bread. So this is my body broken for you. Eat this, take this, consume this in remembrance of me. And he said that, and today, people all around the world, different time zones, are doing exactly the same thing. This is what unites us together. After they'd taken the bread, after that had been passed by, he passed a cup of wine around, and we have juice today, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and poured out for many. Poured out for many all around the world. And this is the communion. This is the sacrament that bonds us together. This is what's sacred because Jesus said, do it. And that's what we do today. And we're going to pray together. And we're going to take communion together. But before, but after I've prayed, Kathy and two of our friends are going to pray in their own languages. I'm going to let Kathy explain that after we pray together. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, come and fill us afresh in you. Come and fill us with your body. Fill us with your blood. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place, the people in this place, and be in the elements, the bread and the juice, so that we might know you more completely, that we might know whom you are, not just here in Palm Harbor, in Florida, but around the world, and that people would know the transformative power of your love. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name, and everybody said, amen.
We are going to join together with brothers and sisters around the world in the Lord's Prayer this morning. And I am inviting Natalie Chamberlain and Kinga Phillips to join me as they will be saying the Lord's Prayer in their native language. Natalie is from Belgium, so it will be in French. And Kinga is from Poland, so she will be saying it in Polish. So we'll be breaking it up. You can say it with me in English and then listen to the other languages or just listen to the whole thing. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Notre Père, qui es aux cieux, que ton nom soit sanctifié.
Ojcze nasz, któryś jest w niebie, święć się imię Twoje.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Que ton règne vienne, que ta volonté soit faite sur la terre comme c'était au ciel.
Przyjdź królestwo Twoje, bądź wola Twoja, jako w niebie, tak i na ziemi.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Donne-nous notre pain de ce jour, et pardonne-nous nos offenses, comme nous pardonnons aussi à ceux qui nous ont offensés.
Chleba naszego powszedniego daj nam dzisiaj I odpuść nam nasze przewinienia, jako i my odpuszczamy tym, którzy zawinili nam.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Et ne nous soumets pas à la tentation, mais délivre-nous du mal, car c'est à toi qu'appartient le power, la joie pour toujours.
I nie wódź nas na pokuszenie, ale nas zbaw ode złego.
And together we all say,
Amen. Amen.
At this time I would invite the communion servers to come to their stations. We will be receiving this morning through intinction. So you will receive a piece of bread and you will now dip it into the chalice with the juice. If you would prefer to have the individual cups, please let your server know. Those are gluten-free. And if you are not able to come to the table, just let someone know and we will bring the table to you.